This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
We're going to begin today with the race to become the next mayor of Boston.
With just 2 weeks until the preliminary election to winnow the 12-candidate field down to two, the mayoral hopefuls have been campaigning across the city, debating and pushing ads both on air and online. In a moment, we're going to talk about the latest batch of political ads and what they say about the candidates and about what's at stake for Boston.
But first, we're going to continue with WBUR's series of interviews with the mayoral candidates. Today, Marty Walsh, a Democratic state representative from Dorchester, where he was born and raised. And Marty Walsh, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
So I read that you have wanted to run for mayor since you were like 10 years old. So
That was my mother.
This is a lifelong ambition. Why the early attraction to local politics and why to becoming mayor of Boston in particular?
I mean, I grew up in a house where politics was always discussed. My father wasn't in politics, but he always talked about politics. I grew up in a very political neighborhood in Dorchester, and I just loved it. I was drawn to it at an early age, and I loved the holding the signs and loved the bumper stickers. I often told, I've told some kids in the past, why did you run? I said, I wanted to see my name on a bumper sticker. and I got it on a bumper sticker. But no, I generally love helping people, and being in office is just one of those ways. I view it as a very good, honorable profession.
Mm. I want to ask you, we're going to talk about some issues, but I'd love to get a little bit of your personal story. You've survived a number of big challenges on the personal front. You were diagnosed with a very serious form of cancer when you were just 7 years old. People thought you weren't going to survive. You survived a gunshot wound when you were age 22, and you're a recovering alcoholic. I understand you've been sober since 1995. When did you realize, what made you realize that you needed to become sober?
It's the feelings, ultimately. You know, when I went to detox, I had no intention of stopping drinking. I went to detox to kind of get the heat off me, if you will.
Hmm.
And the first night I was in the detox, a commitment came in. A group of people came in to talk about their experience, strength, and hope. And I got hooked. And I listened when I was down in Gosnold. And I learned about a lot of what I have as a disease. And that completely transformed my life. That really put me on a whole different outlook on life. And recovery is incredible. I mean, my life was completely transformed. I was able to run for state representative and have had 16 wonderful years on Beacon Hill. And recovery is a big, big part of my story. And I kind of equate recovery into the cancer. I mean, I have been fortunate. I have had two major points in my life that there's been an intervention to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped build me for the person I am.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about your career as a state representative. Your toughest vote?
Oh, good question. Probably the first death penalty vote.
Remind us, what was the vote?
1997. I was 3 months into the House of Representatives, and there was a death penalty debate. Paul Cellucci was the governor. And there was a little boy that got killed in Cambridge, and that murder had just was fresh in everyone's minds. Little Jeffrey Curley, and for about 3 weeks, I literally changed my mind every single day for it, against it, and I would talk to different people, and ultimately, I came up with the position to vote against it. Leaving the House of Representatives that night was a very eerie feeling, because you had a lot of family members of victims of murder in the building, and it was a tough vote.
Well, what did you say to them? I mean, because the victims of murder, of course, have a pretty compelling argument, and you voted against.
There's two things I think that are important to remember here. Number one is that the system makes mistakes. And if the death penalty were reinstated here and we convicted somebody for first-degree murder and they were put to death, we can't bring them back if we find out they actually didn't do it. And secondly, I honestly, and this is part of my reasoning for it back then, was that penalty, life in jail without parole, and that's what first-degree murder is in this state. You do not get parole, first-degree murder. You know, spending the rest of your life in a 4x4-foot cell with maybe a half hour a day out in the yard, I find is a far worse penalty than putting somebody to death.
Well, you grew up in Dorchester. You're the son of Irish immigrants who came to Boston in the 1950s. You've been referred to as the labor candidate in this race, and you followed in your dad's footsteps, becoming a union laborer and leader. It's come up as an issue in this campaign because of the money you've raised from organized labor, about $250,000. What do you say to the critics who say that ties you too closely to labor interests and might compromise your ability to negotiate with city workers who are unionized, should you be elected mayor?
Well, first of all, as far as the donations go, I mean, I don't see any difference in that as compared to defense attorneys giving to some of my opponents here or corporate attorneys giving to my opponents. You know, I'm not getting a lot of that money into this campaign, so I don't view it that way. And I don't begrudge them either for it. As far as it making holding me that I can't run the city correct right, it's just not accurate. I mean, I have certainly stood on my own many times in the House of Representatives and voted against the interests of what would be organized labor. But not only that,
what did you do? When did you do that? I mean, what would you point to as the most significant vote that...
Education reform, all by right. far. In the level 4 schools in Boston, underperforming schools, changing some of the rights in the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it legislatively. And, you know, it wasn't an easy vote for a lot of people. They were upset with me about it. I'm not going to say I took on the union, but I didn't do what the union wanted in that case. And I advocated for that piece of legislation because I felt it was extremely important to do that. And I'm the only candidate in the race that actually had an ability to do something about education reform. A lot of people are talking about it, but I actually had a vote to implement it here in the city of Boston. I will make sure that the discussions that we have with any union, for that matter, will be open and transparent. I will lay all the cards on the table. I'll be open, and I'll do everything in my power to avoid, eliminate, not going to arbitration. We have to solve these at the negotiating table.
Hmm. Marty Walsh, let me ask you about public safety. In recent years, there's been a lot of sort of feel-good stories about the overall crime rate coming down. But as you know, there are pockets in this city that are still plagued by violence. So for many families in parts of Dorchester, Roxbury, Mattapan, you know, statistics about low crime rates are meaningless if people are, you know, still being shot in the street. So how do we make Boston a safer city for everyone, for all communities?
We're not going to police our way out of this problem. We're looking at this as a public health problem. What my campaign is proposing is to go into the neighborhoods, almost like a political campaign, go into different people's houses, knock on doors, and find out what the challenges are, as well as doing it back in the school. When we passed education reform, we were supposed to have wraparound services for some of these families, and we don't have them. So a combination of the wraparound services for the young kids that are in our school system currently, and also going out and identifying the challenges and the needs that some of these young people have that are creating the violence, that are causing. A lot of these kids are addicted to drugs. A lot of these kids have no future. They have no education. A lot of these kids have it's intergenerational poverty. So we really have to go out and do a full comprehensive look at it. You know, we can't let another generation of kids be lost to the streets. You just can't.
Let me ask you about how this city is changing around issues of diversity, race, so on. There's talk about a sort of new Boston versus the old Boston. And I'll be blunt here, but how does a white Irish Catholic guy from Dorchester make the case that he represents the new Boston?
I do it every day as a state representative. My district is 56% people of color. I've spent my whole career on Beacon Hill and as the head of the building trades, making sure that there's opportunities for everybody. We still have major divides in the city. I've seen that in this campaign, and we need to do better than that. I think the things I can do as mayor of the city of Boston is to make sure that the upper echelon of my police department reflects the city of Boston, making sure that the school department reflects the city of Boston, making sure that all of my cabinet level positions that we're gonna be appointing in the first month of my mayoralship, making sure it represents the city of Boston. And we also have to let people know that there are problems out there, and we have to address those problems. We can't ignore them and turn our back on them. We need to address the problems head on.
I want to ask you to sum up Mayor Menino's legacy. What did Mayor Menino do to the city, and what happened to the city during his many terms in office?
Tom Menino's going to go down as a great mayor of the city of Boston. You know, the fiscal stability of this city is remarkable. I mean, what Tom Menino has done in very bad fiscal times and kept our city very, very strong. But he really has done an unbelievable job as far as the economic engine of the city, keeping the city together. And that's important for the next mayor. You have to be careful. You have to keep your eye on the pocketbook and make sure that, you know, you don't spend the money you don't have, number one. And number two, make sure you keep our bond rating high so in the rainy days we have the money.
Hmm. Marty Walsh, he's a state representative from Dorchester and a candidate for mayor of Boston. Representative Walsh, thanks so much for coming in.
No, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to ask all the voters to consider voting for me on the 24th of September.
And you can hear WBUR's interviews with all the mayoral candidates over the next 2 weeks here on Radio Boston, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered, including later today when Sasha Pfeiffer sits down with City Councilor Mike Ross.